Chapter 19. The following afternoon, they were again working on potions when Draco and Narcissa suddenly yelped. Harry looked to them in alarm, and they were both clutching their left forearms. "Fuck!" Harry exclaimed, knowing immediately what it meant. Draco was pushing back his sleeve, and Harry saw the jet-black mark. It had been a dark red before, but at the moment, it was an almost shiny black. Harry irreverently wondered how long it would take to fade back to red again after summoning. "He'll know now," Draco whimpered. Narcissa looked no better than Draco, but she swiftly moved to wrap her son in a tight hug. "Can he reach you through the marks?" Harry asked sharply, realizing it was something he should have asked long before now. Draco pushed at his mother for some breathing room and scowled at Harry. "Of course he can reach us! He uses the mark to summon his followers," he spat. "I thought you knew this, Potter." "I do know that," Harry said impatiently. "I've watched him do it before. What I don't know is if he can do anything else through the mark." He didn't really think so. If Voldemort could reach his followers through the mark, ones like Karkaroff would never have lasted as long as he had. He didn't really think the mark connected Voldemort to his followers, like his scar connected him to Voldemort. Draco frowned deeply, and Narcissa was the one who answered. "No," she said quietly. "It only distinguishes his followers from others and allows him to summon them." "Does he have some way of summoning just one of you?" Harry asked. He knew that when Voldemort touched the mark, that it called all of the Death Eaters. But could Voldemort call just one follower? Or two? Repeatedly until they arrived at his side? Narcissa shook her head, and Harry was deeply relieved. "If he summons one, he summons all through the mark. It simply allows us to apparate directly to his current location. He cannot reach us the same way that he's been able to reach you in the past," she said. "So Voldemort can't torture you through the bloody thing?" Harry asked, needing that clarified. "No," Narcissa said simply. "We will only feel the burn each time he summons the Death Eaters." Harry exhaled heavily. "Well, that isn't so bad then," he said. "Not so bad," Draco ground out. "This fucking hurts, Potter." Harry unconsciously rubbed his scar. "I'm sure it does," he said. Draco's eyes widened, and Harry realized what he was doing. "Yes, I've got my own bloody mark," Harry said sharply. "Be thankful he can't reach you through the one on your arm." As if talking about his scar triggered a reaction, Harry could feel it start to burn and prickle painfully. He winced, concentrating on his occlumency shields for a moment, making sure that he was blocking his mind from Voldemort. Unfortunately, Voldemort didn't seem to be blocking his own mind. He was furious enough that the emotion was coming clearly across the link to Harry. Harry squeezed his eyes shut tightly for a few moments, pressing on his scar in an attempt to relieve the pressure. "Harry? Harry!" Draco and Narcissa each had a hand on one of his shoulders, staring at him anxiously. "He knows," Harry said simply. "Already?" Narcissa asked, her face pinched and white. Harry shrugged. "He's furious," he said, realizing his face probably looked just as pale as the other two. "I can't see him being that angry about anything else at the moment. This is the first time he's summoned the Death Eaters since you've disappeared, and considering how furious he is, I reckon he hasn't been at your house since you left to find out before now." Draco swallowed audibly, and his palpable fear registered with Harry. "It'll be okay," Harry told them both firmly. "You knew he would find out." "But this is real," Draco said shakily, lifting his arm to stare at it. Trying not to think about Narcissa still standing there, Harry leaned forward to kiss Draco. Draco didn't seem to mind that his mother was watching and latched onto Harry almost desperately, plunging his tongue into Harry's mouth. He seemed to be trying to erase any pain and replace it with pleasure. The assault on his senses was actually quite effective, Harry dazedly realized. Draco broke the kiss and dropped his forehead to Harry's. "Better?" Harry asked softly. Draco laughed harshly. "Yes, but don't you dare kiss my mother like that to make her feel better," he said. Harry jerked back, horrified at that thought. He darted a glance at Narcissa, and she still looked dreadfully stressed, but she was smiling slightly.
"Draco," Harry hissed, "I can't believe you said that."
"Me neither," Draco admitted, glancing at his mother. "I apologize." Narcissa smiled sadly.
"It's all right. I understand the feeling. It is suddenly more real, and there is no turning back now."
Draco straightened, and his expression hardened. "I don't want to turn back," he said, his voice full of conviction.
"I know," Narcissa said in understanding.
Harry felt his scar burn again painfully, and suddenly understood that while these two were here safe, Voldemort was sure to make someone pay. Since Snape was clearly close to the Malfoys, and Harry was fairly certain he hadn't said anything to Voldemort about their disappearance, would Snape be the likely target of Voldemort's wrath?
"I've got to go," Harry said abruptly, already stepping back from Draco and turning to leave.
Draco grabbed his arm and jerked him around.
"Go where?" Draco asked sharply.
"Voldemort's furious," Harry snapped, trying to think fast for something believable.
"What does that have to do with you leaving?"
Draco asked, eyes narrowed. Harry jerked his arm free, and Draco let him go.
"I've got to warn the others," Harry said, pressing the heel of his hand against his scar. Surely Voldemort had something planned for tonight if he was summoning his Death Eaters.
"But you have no idea what he has planned," Draco said, sounding almost pleading.
"No, but if I warn everyone, we can prepare as best we can," Harry said, his voice hard.
"Wherever Voldemort decides to attack tonight, hopefully someone can get word to us and we can try to prevent the damage as much as possible."
"I'll get your cloak," Narcissa said, swiftly leaving the room.
"I have to go, Draco," Harry said, rubbing at his scar. "And I have to go now." Draco took a deep breath and gave Harry a jerky nod.
"I'll be fine," Harry said, softening. He kissed Draco quickly before turning to leave.
Narcissa handed him his cloak in the front hall, and with one final glance at them, Harry was out the door. Harry apparated to the alleyway near Grimmauld Place, and had only run a short way when he heard a pop behind him. He whirled sharply, wand in hand. Snape appeared startled to see him, but was almost instantly back in control.
"Why are you here, Potter?"
"My scar," Harry answered simply. Snape nodded curtly and quickly cast a silencing charm around the area they were standing.
"I have no time," he said. "The Dark Lord is preparing to attack Hogsmeade within the hour."
Harry inhaled sharply, wide-eyed at that news. Snape gave him no time to question.
"The Malfoys are missing, and he is furious," Snape said, his gaze flicking to Harry's forehead. "I am only able to warn you because he thinks I am making a final check for them. The Dark Lord plans to take out his fury on Hogsmeade and step up plans for trying to get closer to Hogwarts."
"He'll know that you've warned us," Harry said, his mind whirling with the shock. He expected something, just not quite this. Snape seemed to have avoided punishment, but Hogsmeade was to take the punishment instead.
Snape shook his head. "No, he has sent many out to check possible locations for the Malfoys. All must return within 15 minutes. He will be unaware who leaked the information," he said with cold satisfaction.
He looked at Harry intently.
"Can you handle this?"
"I have to," Harry snapped, spine straightening. Snape nodded curtly, as if he had expected that answer. Harry watched as Snape apparated, and then did so himself, his mind whirling feverishly. He slammed back into the Dursleys' house, hoping he could save Hogsmeade and protect all the secrets at the same time.
"What happened?"
Draco shouted, alarmed at Harry's sudden appearance,
particularly since he'd left just a few minutes before. Harry rubbed at his scar. "I know where Draco's sending his followers, and there's no time for questions," Harry shouted. "Winky!" Winky popped in immediately. "Can you go to Fred and George?" He barely waited for her nod. "Go to them and tell them I need them here immediately with as much of their destructive product as they can stuff in their pockets. Now!" Winky popped out and Harry looked to Narcissa. "I need the other cloak, parchment, and ink, and then you might want to stay out of the way. They know about Draco, but not you." Narcissa nodded briskly and made for the stairs. Harry tossed his new cloak at Draco. "You're coming with me, but you're going to keep your arse hidden," he said forcefully. "Go get anything the twins gave me that might be useful and load it into the pockets of the cloak." Draco was wide-eyed, but immediately took to the stairs, two at a time. Harry shouted, "Dobby!" Dobby popped in almost instantly. "Don't start, Dobby," Harry commanded. "Go to the Weasleys and tell them to get everyone they can to Hogsmeade, prepared to fight immediately. I've already told Fred and George. Assuming the Death Eaters don't get there first, I'll meet them in front of the Three Broomsticks." Dobby's eyes were always large, but now they were absolutely enormous. "Anything for Harry Potter, sir," he said, before popping out again. Harry took a deep breath as Narcissa came into view again, as soon as Dobby was gone. She looked scared and worried, but at the same time, she appeared determined. As she was laying out the writing materials on a small side table in the entryway, Harry called for Fox. He didn't know how the hell Fox's magic worked, but Fox appeared and rested heavily on his shoulder just a moment later. The stray thought floated through Harry's mind that he was lucky there was so much instantaneousness to magic, or Hogsmeade would never have a chance. Focusing, he glanced at Fox and stroked his feathers once. "Will you be able to deliver a message for me?" he asked. Fox trilled, and Harry set about writing a quick note to McGonagall. He thought about sending Dobby to her, but hoped this way would get everyone there as quickly as possible. "Get everyone to Hogsmeade immediately. Voldemort attacking within the hour. I'll be at Broomsticks shortly. Weasleys know already." Narcissa charmed it dry even as Harry was tossing the quill aside. He rolled it swiftly and Fox took it in his beak. "Take it to McGonagall, then follow any instructions she gives you," Harry ordered. He hoped like hell McGonagall knew how to use Fox to get the message to everyone else. With a flash, Fox disappeared. "Hogsmeade?" Draco questioned, having returned and read the note over Harry's shoulder. "Yeah, he wants to get closer to Hogwarts," Harry said sharply. "You need to hide or Fred and George will see you," he said to Narcissa. She just shook her head. "You're taking Draco?" she asked. Harry nodded, but didn't answer as the door suddenly slammed open again. His eyes flew from the twins to Narcissa and back. Fred and George stared at Narcissa for a second, in astonishment. "You get around, Harry," George said in admiration. "House elves and more Malfoys." "So, where to?" Fred asked, already their focus back to Harry. "Voldemort plans to take Hogsmeade within the hour," Harry said quickly. "I'm sending Draco under the new cloak with you two to protect Honeydukes. Do whatever you have to keep the Death Eaters away from there," he ordered. "The three of you should be able to handle that. Get some distractions going so the Death Eaters will hopefully avoid it altogether." Fred and George nodded in understanding. Draco looked questioning, but didn't say anything as he also nodded. Harry hurried to the kitchen and began loading his pockets with several potions, while Draco added several to the pockets of the other cloak with the twins' help. "Narcissa, box up the rest of the finished potions," Harry said. Looking to Winky, he added, "When she has them all done, you and Dobby take them to the hospital wing at Hogwarts." Narcissa and Winky nodded. Harry shook his head, trying to shake off the oddity of giving orders to the two of them like that. Thankfully, everyone was just following orders and not questioning. Of course, he was about to go meet up with the rest of the Weasleys, and who knew all else? Surely there would be more questions there. Harry took a deep breath, his mind working furiously to figure out if he'd forgotten anything. "The snake!" he said suddenly. Draco whirled and ran up the stairs. Harry actually smiled a little. Draco understood how the snake could be a good weapon, as Harry had used it more than once on him. Narcissa handed him his cloak and gave him a quick hug as they waited for Draco. She looked to the twins, who were watching in wide-eyed amazement. "Stay safe," she said softly. Fred and George nodded slowly. Draco came barreling back down the stairs, jumping the last half of the steps. He handed the snake to Harry before giving his mother a quick hug. "Ready?" Harry asked, the snake now wrapped around his neck. The others nodded, and they all ran to a place where they could apparate, Harry in the lead. Before apparating, Harry gave Draco a quick, hard kiss. "Stay out of trouble," he ordered, grinning and including Fred and George in that warning. The twins grinned back as Draco smirked. "We will if you will," Fred said cheerfully. Draco and Harry slipped the invisibility cloaks on, and they apparated. Harry hoped to hell the Death Eaters weren't in Hogsmeade yet. Adrenaline pumping furiously, Harry landed a little ways from the three broomsticks. He hadn't wanted to apparate out in the open in case the Death Eaters were already there. If he was lucky, Voldemort hadn't even called back all the Death Eaters from searching for the Malfoys yet. He had no idea how much time had actually passed, though, as everything seemed to be happening so quickly. Moving forward cautiously, after checking to make sure he was hidden completely under the cloak, he looked out on the main street. He was thankful when he saw only Order members. He slipped off the cloak and walked quickly towards the group of people gathering. "Harry!" All heads turned towards him, and Harry wondered briefly how exactly he'd gotten himself to this point. He'd told Draco that he'd finally figured out he was the leader of the light side, but Merlin, didn't these people know he was just a bloody teenager? He snorted softly. Then again, they'd put him on a pedestal as a 1-year-old. He reckoned their faith in him made at least a little more sense now that he was almost 17 and could actually understand what was going on around him. Silence fell upon the group as he approached, and he looked around at all of them. Hermione, Ron, and Ginny were there too, he noted it with surprise. He darted a glance at Mrs. Weasley, who looked incredibly strained, as Harry's friends moved to stand beside him. "What's happening, Harry?" Remus asked. Harry tried to calm his trip-hammering heart with little success. "Voldemort's furious," he said, rubbing at his scar, not just for effect. "He's planning to take down Hogsmeade so he can get closer to Hogwarts, and he's organizing the Death Eaters to send them here within the hour. I think it'll be a large-scale attack." Harry sought out Moody. "Is everyone in position, like they were last time?" he asked. "Yes," Moody said. "A group is already placing extra wards on as many of the homes and buildings as possible. We've got one group at either end of the town ready for attack. The rest of us were just waiting for word from you." "We need more people," Shacklebolt snapped angrily. "There are not enough of us, if what Harry says is true." "Can't the other Aurors be called in?" Harry asked. "Surely they're cooperating with the Order now, aren't they?"
"The Order and the Ministry are still very separate entities, Mr. Potter," McGonagall informed him.
"Scrimjaw's not sending any help?" Harry asked dangerously.
"Proper channels must be adhered to," she said angrily.
Harry's nostrils flared. "Proper channels? After the bastard had tried to blackmail him?" "Can you connect me to him?" he asked sharply.
McGonagall looked at him in surprise, but then nodded. "Follow me," she said crisply.
"Hold on," Harry said.
He faced Hermione, Ron, and Ginny. "I need you three to go to the Shrieking Shack, just in case," he whispered quickly.
They started to protest, but Harry continued. "I've already posted Fred and George at Honeydukes." Ron and Hermione's eyes widened as they suddenly understood why.
"We're needed here to fight," Ginny protested.
"No, we're needed there," Ron said, agreeing with Harry, much to Ginny's confusion.
"I'll take her," Hermione said, grabbing hold of Ginny's arm. "Good luck, Harry," she said. The three apparated away, and Harry turned back to McGonagall, only to be faced with Mrs. Weasley. Where did you send them? She asked shrilly. I've posted them and Fred and George at places where I need them, Harry said firmly, with no time to argue with her. Remus put a reassuring hand on Mrs. Weasley's arm. I'm sure Harry's doing his best to keep them from getting hurt, he said mildly. Mr. Weasley stepped up to the other side of her. Let Harry do his job, he said to his wife. Mrs. Weasley closed her eyes in defeat, nodding weakly. Thank you, Harry said quietly, then moved quickly to follow McGonagall into the three broomsticks, leaving Moody and Shacklebolt to finish directing people to wherever they needed to be. Can we do this meeting somewhere private? Harry asked, realizing there were a lot of people holed up inside for safety. McGonagall looked at him oddly, but nodded as she stepped behind the bar and into a back room. Rosmerta let them go without question, looking scared and worried. McGonagall cast Harry another odd look before she threw some flue powder into the fireplace and called the minister's office. Rufus? McGonagall called. Harry could hear Scrimjaw on the other side. I told you, Minerva, proper channels must be adhered to, he said sharply. So you've said, McGonagall said briskly, but I have someone here who wishes to speak with you. She didn't wait for a response, instead moving back and gesturing Harry forward. Harry stuck his head into the flames and felt his gut wrench at the sickening feeling of just his head swirling to the other location. Potter? Scrimjaw said in astonishment. Why the fuck won't you send the Aurors here? Harry asked furiously, getting straight to the point. Potter, there's no sign of Death Eater activity in the area, Scrimjaw said, trying to sound reasonable. Proper channels must be followed, and, as I've told Professor McGonagall, Aurors will be sent to check the area tomorrow. Proper channels my arse, Harry scoffed. Those Death Eaters are coming at any minute with the intention of flattening Hogsmeade. There won't necessarily be an area to check if you wait. You can't know this, Scrimjaw said doubtfully. I'm called the fucking Chosen One for a reason, Scrimjaw. Harry ground out, willing to use whatever means he had to convince the man. It's not because I'm an idiot. Scrimjaw's eyes narrowed. Now get your arse moving and get every Auror you can out here to fight, Harry said coldly. Then, tomorrow, you can happily report to the public about what a fantastic job you did at being able to prevent destruction of this town. If you don't get help here immediately, then I get to give my own report. Are you threatening me, Potter? Scrimjaw asked. No, just stating a fact, Harry said, glaring dangerously. I thought you understood I'm not playing a fucking game. I also thought you understood I'm not playing things your way. Scrimjaw gazed at Harry for a few seconds, before nodding sharply. I'll send all I can immediately, he said. Thank you, Harry said pleasantly, before leaning back out of the flames and breaking the connection. Very impressive, McGonagall said, giving Harry a small smile. Even Albus had difficulty attaining ministry cooperation at times. That's because he wasn't the Chosen One, Harry said sarcastically. It's downright ridiculous how much leverage I've got with it, but it seems to work with Scrimjaw, so I'll use it. Suddenly, several screams could be heard, and Harry quickly covered himself with his cloak as he and McGonagall carefully left the room. They're outside, Rosmerta said fearfully, pointing to the view outside the windows. They couldn't see much, but there was definitely light from spells shooting across the area. They could also hear shouting and the sounds of the battle. Lock up behind me, McGonagall said sharply. Harry made sure she felt him slipping out the door before her, quickly moving to the side of the door and trying to figure out what was happening. It was chaos. There were black-robed figures everywhere he looked. So many duels were taking place. Staring, Harry was overwhelmed for long seconds. Voldemort must have sent every bloody follower he had for there to be so many Death Eaters in Hogsmeade. Harry saw someone fall. He didn't know who it was, but he jolted back into action. He hissed quietly to the snake around his neck. Can you bite the wand hand of anyone wearing a white mask?
Yes, Griff hissed. Harry watched in satisfaction as a nearby Death Eater yelped suddenly, jerking his wand hand. Whoever was dueling with him took advantage, disarming and stunning.
Perfect. Keep doing that.
Harry hissed.
I have to be close enough,
the snake responded.
Then we'll keep moving,
Harry hissed. Adrenaline pumping furiously through his body, Harry stepped away from the wall. Crouching low, he began skirting the dueling partners. He knew he needed to avoid battling directly. If any of the Death Eaters caught sight of him, they would go for him immediately. He knew he couldn't afford to be caught, but that didn't mean he wouldn't do whatever he could to help. It just meant not jumping into the middle of the battle. He darted around, avoiding the dueling, but getting close enough for the snake to help. Trying to stay low, he worked his way towards Honeydukes, hoping the twins and Draco were doing okay. Harry inhaled sharply as he spotted a figure on the ground, not in Death Eater robes, blood flowing.
Bite them as hard as you can, Harry hissed. As many as possible, because I need to get in there.
Harry darted forward, dodging curses, trying to get to Tonks, lying so still on the ground. Please don't be dead. Please don't be dead. Tonks, he whispered harshly.
Harry, she murmured.
Shh. He grabbed her and apparated, hoping like hell his destination would be clear. Harry! Is it clear? Harry asked quickly. There's no one, Ginny said. Tonks! Hermione exclaimed anxiously. Harry, she's badly hurt. We've got to get her to Hogwarts. Just hold on, Harry snapped impatiently. Tonks had blood flowing freely from a huge gash along her arm and one alongside her head. It looked like someone had sliced down her side from head to fingertips. She had passed out when Harry apparated her, and blood was still flowing, scaring the hell out of Harry. Wand in hand, he placed it at the edge of the wound on her head and began muttering the song-like incantation. He barely registered his friend staring at him in astonishment, focusing on the injury. He paused when he reached the end of the gash on her head. "Ginny, there's potions in my pockets," he commanded. Better to have Ginny digging in his trouser pockets rather than Hermione or Ron, and he didn't want to take the time to do it himself. Already he was placing his wand at Tonks's shoulder and starting the incantation again. He sat back on his heels after Ginny retrieved the potions, but continued to focus on the long slash along Tonks's arm until he reached the end of it.
"It's healing," Ron breathed. "Where'd you learn that?" he asked.
"The book," Harry snapped. He looked to the girls. "Try to revive her and make sure she takes the Dittany along with the blood replenishing and pain relieving potions." Hermione nodded, but was looking between Harry and Tonks in amazement. "Continue to keep watch," Harry ordered. "Don't leave, and I'll be back." He didn't wait for their response, and apparated away again after covering himself with the cloak. Battle was still raging in Hogsmeade. Harry appeared close to Honeydukes, quickly spotting Fred tossing out some type of firecracker that was effectively keeping the area cleared. Harry wrinkled his nose in disgust. It seemed the twins were also attempting to keep the Death Eaters away by smell. He noticed another set of firecrackers going off near the other end of the building, but didn't see anyone.
"Where's George?" Harry asked, coming up close to Fred.
"He got hit," Fred said angrily. "Before the Aurors came, there were just too many of the bastards."
"Where is he?"
Harry demanded.
"I don't know," Fred said quickly, lighting off something else.
"Why don't you know?" Harry shouted. "Your friend moved him," Fred answered. "I think he's at the other corner of the building, or somewhere close there."
"I'm going to have to reveal myself," Harry said, thinking quickly.
"I'll try to cover you," Fred said.
It was crazy. There were Aurors and Death Eaters fighting all over the small town. The front of Honeydukes had a fairly wide semicircle clear in front of it, though.
Harry ran to the other end of the building, as a huge, very bright and very loud firework display went off in front of the store.
"George!"
Harry shouted, removing his hood and hoping like hell Draco was actually close enough to see and hear him in all the ruckus.
His arm was suddenly grabbed, and Harry flipped his hood up again. He was startled when he was abruptly apparated, and stumbled when he landed. Harry looked around wildly. After the brightness of the fireworks display, it was suddenly pitch dark. Blinking furiously, he tried to get his eyes to adjust. Draco's blonde head suddenly appeared next to him, only to kneel down. "He's hurt badly, Harry," he said anxiously. "He was caught in a nasty duel with McNair. I got him out of there, but I didn't know where to take him or how to help him. I gave him one of the pain-relieving potions and one of the blood-replenishing, but I don't know how to heal him. I could only wrap his leg to keep pressure on it." George was unconscious, but still breathing. "Where are we?" Harry asked. "We're just over the hill behind Honeydukes," Draco said. "I didn't want to take him far." Harry nodded. "Here, take Griff," he commanded, removing the snake from his neck and passing it to Draco. "He knows to bite anyone in a mask. Keep helping Fred. I'm taking George to the others at the Shrieking Shack." They exchanged a quick glance before Draco reapplied his disillusionment charm, and each of them apparated.
"It's George!"
Ginny exclaimed, horrified at the sight of her brother.
"Help me,"
Harry ordered, already working to tear George's trousers away from the wound. Ginny jumped in and applied pressure. Once Harry had the trousers clear, he nodded to Ginny and she removed the cloth that had been covering it. It looked awful, a wide gash splitting the flesh of George's thigh down to the bone. Ginny moaned, swaying where she was kneeling. Harry darted a glance at Ron, who was staring transfixed at George's leg. He wasn't looking much better than Ginny. Hoping they'd be okay, Harry put his wand tip to George's thigh and began the incantation. He didn't even know if the spell would work on a wound this deep. He shuddered in relief when he finished, the wound already starting to close slowly. Harry looked back to Ron and Ginny, who were also looking relieved, though still worried. He frowned suddenly, glancing around the room. "Where's Hermione and Tonks?" he demanded. "Hermione took Tonks to Hogwarts through the tunnel," Ron said. "She healed, but she was still weak, and she had other minor injuries." Harry nodded. "Ginny, do the same with George," he commanded. "He should be fine in just a bit." Ginny nodded weakly. "Thank you, Harry," she said quietly. Ron nodded in agreement. "I've got to tell Fred," Harry said, rising to his feet again. He frowned, looking at Ron. "You okay here by yourself?" he asked. "Yeah, mate," Ron answered firmly. "I'm here if you need me, and I'll keep watch still." Harry nodded gratefully, before taking a deep breath and disappearing again. When he appeared near Honeydukes, he found Fred leaning up against the side of the building. "Fred?" Harry questioned, looking around the area. Fred started, but stood up straight. "Is he all right?" "He'll be fine," Harry said quickly. "He's healing, and I left him with Ron and Ginny. Ginny'll be taking him to Hogwarts as soon as the wound's completely closed." Fred collapsed back against the building again in relief. "What's happening?" Harry asked, feeling the sudden hand in the middle of his back. Odd, with them both in invisibility cloaks, but Draco could at least hear Harry, even if he couldn't see him. "They just left," Fred answered, sounding weary. "They seem to finally give up." "Are you okay?" Harry asked in concern. Fred smiled grimly. "Fine. Your boy found you yet?" "Yeah," Harry said, not even attempting to argue that Draco wasn't his boy. "He's here." "Then I can tell him thanks and he'll hear me," Fred said quietly. Harry felt the hand on his back shift and was fairly certain Draco was acknowledging Fred's words somehow. Fred suddenly grinned and shook his head. "The stories I'll have to tell someday." "Ouch!" Fred yelped, jumping to the side. Harry didn't know what exactly Draco had done, but Fred had deserved it. Fred obviously agreed, because he simply grinned wider. "Go get Ron," Harry said. "I'll meet you up at Hogwarts soon." "Where are you going?" Fred asked. Harry glanced around. "I should see if anyone else needs help," he said quietly. Fred sobered. "I think they've already taken the injured to the castle," he said. "You won't be able to help anyone else here." Harry closed his eyes tightly, and was grateful when Draco pulled him close for a moment.
Harry? Fred called quietly. Harry remembered that Fred still couldn't see him.
I'm here, he said, straightening again. Get Ron, he repeated. I'm going to Hogwarts. Fred nodded and disappeared.
I'll see you back at the house later, Harry said to Draco. I've got to go see if I can help.
His arm was gripped tightly, and for the second time that night, Harry was apparated by Draco. Harry looked around warily and recognized that they were not far off the path outside the Hogwarts gates. Draco dragged him behind some trees before pulling his hood back. Harry slipped his own hood down.
I want to go to the castle with you, Draco said quickly, looking nervous.
You aren't going to be able to help at all, Harry said.
I know, Draco said. I just want to go back to the castle with you.
Harry closed his eyes. This is really not a good time, he said.
Let me come with you, Draco said pleadingly.
I don't have time to argue, Harry said wearily.
Then I'm coming with you, Draco said. He kissed him quickly, a brush of the lips before pulling the hood back up.
Harry paused for a moment before heading to the castle.
Winky, he called softly.
Yes, Master Harry, she said, popping into existence before him.
Could you please let Narcissa know that Draco and I, and Hogsmeade, are safe? Harry asked, and also tell her that it will still be a while before we make it back.
Winky nodded and bowed slightly before disappearing again. Harry walked back to the path and slipped his cloak completely off, since he didn't actually need it now, his mind shifting to think about who might, or might not, be in the hospital wing.
Harry picked up his pace and was soon running to the castle.